from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Weekend.
It's The Weekend.
Know what The Weekend is for.
And we never stop talking Atlanta sports. This is On The Bench with Garrett Chapman.
Talking Atlanta sports with you, along with special guests to give you the full picture of our Atlanta sports scene.
On The Bench is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Garrett.
Welcome in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, you're coming off the bench with me. Oh, we got it set for the next 2 hours. Big thank you to Chris Goforth, who had me on a little earlier. We talked a little Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, and if you want to go listen back to that, go check out the Odyssey app. But if you want to listen to me, just tune in right here for the next 2 hours before we hand it over to Grant McCauley. He's got From the Diamond coming up after this, and lots to talk about there. Braves baseball has been very interesting indeed. We're going to talk about that a good bit here in this first hour. We're going to end that first hour with a conversation with Chris Marler. He's been all over the place. I mean, he's currently over there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but he's also doing stuff in Columbia, South Carolina for the Gamecocks. And look, SEC Media Days is coming up, and we're going to chat with him about the state of college football in the Southeastern Conference. Lots to get to in that one. And then the second hour, we're going to continue some of this college football conversation. I have a short list of the newcomers that are going to make the biggest impacts in their first year in their new divisions. I'm talking our new conferences. I'm talking Texas. I'm talking Oklahoma. I'm talking Oregon. Lots of other teams. Lots to get into with that. Lots of fun to get into there. Plus, Zachary Richichet played his first game, and I got somebody who watched that game live in Las Vegas, Nevada. And there is another game coming up tonight, Hawks and Spurs. So we're going to chat with Caleb Johnson coming up at 7:20 tonight. And look, I'm in his normal spot, so feels only right that we welcome him in to have a little bit of conversation. The other half of the Dopey Millennials, 404-726-0929. That is the number to jump into the show. Give us a call. Also hit us up on the text line. I can see your text there, so make sure to hit me up right there. On Twitter, at GChapATL. On the board is our fearless producer, Dom Zrosky. At Dom, you're live on Twitter. Got to give him the shout-out there. And if you do, actually, I will say this, too. Andy Bunker used to do this, Dom, before I welcome you in. He said, if you do give me a follow, I'll give you a shout-out live on the radio. I'll do that today. If you give me a shout-out, I'll give you a shout-out if you give me a follow on Twitter. I'm not too ashamed to do something like that. But in the meantime, Dom Zrosky, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. Like I said, here in working the midday shift is pretty solid today. You know, I miss all the time outside where it's super hot. So like by the time I go out, it'll be 8 o'clock. Sun will start to go down. It'll be a little bit cooler. I can go home, relax. So it's a good time of day.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for today is we get off the air at 8 o'clock, so we're both done. Are you a House of the Dragon guy?
Of course.
Oh, okay, so you and I both. That was the thing. So when Mike first asked me, because Caleb, of course, is out there on the West Coast and he's covering in Vegas all the summer league stuff that's going on, but look, he said 6 to 9 at first, and I'm like, all right, I can just come in and I'll finish up, and then as soon as I'm done there, then I can get in there and do something with the House of Dragon and everything, and that we'll do whatever. We'll make it work, right? And then I looked at the schedule, it was at 8 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, heck yeah.
Perfect.
Let's go.
Perfect.
That's going to give me plenty of time to get home. I know you're going to finish up recaps and everything else, and we'll both have plenty of time to get home to catch a House of the Dragon, which I don't know if any House of the Dragon fans out there. Unbelievable last episode. I am just champing at the bit to get that on the screen tonight, and I really want to see what happens.
I'm happy that we're because the first season was the setup, I'm happy we're finally starting to see the fight. We're finally starting to see the battle, the war. That's what I was looking forward to in season two. We're finally there.
Yep. And it was all set up. And really, I had a lot of people talking to me about the, and we'll get into sports talk here in just a second. I just got diverted here. This happens to me quite frequently. But look, when it started a little slow. Just more dialogue, more stuff like that. I'm really into that. I love that kind of thing. And I watch it with a big group of people, so I got a group of folks coming over again tonight, and they kept saying to me, it's like, Garrett, when's the action going to happen? Like, come on. I'm like, give it time. It's going to be great when it hits the screen eventually, and now it is, and now it is everything that we could have ever hoped and imagined, and I love it. I love it so much, and I'm so glad that we're going to be home just in time to watch that one, you and me both. But Dom Trotsky, what do you say we hit the big story? Because the Atlanta Braves, who are they really? Like, what is your confidence level for them in the second half of this year? Because if you're me, I'm pretty confident. And look, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I'm looking at the game right now. It's 5-1. AJ Minter is on the mound, runner on second base, bottom of the seventh inning, two outs. And I'll keep everybody apprised with this as I go throughout the show. But look, pending the result of this game, the team is 52-42, 9 games back, 3.5 games up in the wild card. And I'm about done with looking ahead at the Phillies. And I'm going to be scoreboard watching throughout the rest of the season. And the Phillies have been great. And I'm not going to stay here and the Braves are going to catch them and they're going to do the same thing they did back in 2022 where they caught the Mets and won the division title on the last week of the season. It'd be great. I'd love it if they won their 7th consecutive NL East title. But when you talk about division title streaks, like what the Braves did back in the 90s where they won 14 in a row, that kind of thing just doesn't happen. It's not something that's normal. And it's also not the primary goal of the Atlanta Braves right now. And I'm okay if the Braves end up not winning the National League East. I don't really care at this point. We've won 6 of them. I mean, I think we won 18 or so since we've come into the National League East. And that's going back just to 1994. But look, when we talk about this team is all about the World Series. And anybody who might roll their eyes right now looking at what this team has kind of scuffled through this second half of the first half, the April, May, June, or the May, June, July specifically, I tell them that we still have the keys to the castle. And that starts with starting pitching. You go up and down this rotation. You have Chris Sale. You have Max Fried, who just got inserted into the All-Star game. And you have Ronaldo Lopez. And Ronaldo Lopez really only got hit for the first time last night against the Padres, a good Padres team, a team that's contending for a wild card spot. He got hit pretty hard yesterday. So hopefully it's not a sign of things to come, and he's going to be the big key for this team down the stretch. But look, this is a group that, I mean, I have full expectations that Chris Sale and Max Fried are going to continue doing the things that they have done throughout the course of this season. Max Fried has shown that he is just a stalwart on this rotation. Chris Sale has returned, and he has just had a sip from the fountain of youth and returned to the type of pitcher that he was expected to be while he was up in Boston. And, I mean, Alex Anthopoulos did a fantastic job of acquiring that talent, a talent that kind of overstayed his welcome up in Boston, somebody who had kind of, I mean, you could say he under-delivered. I think that's fair to say, but he won a World Series. He was consistently contending for Cy Young Awards in the early parts of that contract, and then injuries caught up to him. You know, and most of those injuries, were not necessarily on the field related. I mean, like, you have one as a bicycle accident. I mean, it's crazy stuff that was happening. It was all off the field. So assuming that he was just pitching, he was fine. And when he was out on the mound, he was fine. And Alex Anthopoulos, full credit to him, that he saw that. I mean, but my biggest concern, if you have to ask me, is still the bats. And we've seen this team light up at times, and we've seen them just go ice cold. And it just seems like it's Jekyll and Hyde right now for this team. And look, they've scored 5 runs today. And so far, the Padres just went yard, so Fernando Tatis just hit a 2-run home run, and they just singled off of AJ Minter, so I assume his day is coming to an end here very shortly. But the Atlanta Braves consistently lose games when they give up that 4th run. Is that a sign of things to come? Or just a sign of things that have been? I think it is the former. You know, because I still have concerns about the hitting. I do. I want to see it be more consistent. And I think maybe the break is going to come at a good time. Because Austin Riley is coming back alive, and I love to see that from him. I'm not worried about Austin Riley. I've never been worried about Austin Riley. People who I am a little bit more worried about is Marcelo Ozuna, somebody like that. Somebody who carried a heavy load. He's kind of come back down to earth, but he's a veteran hitter. He's going to come back around. He's a solid player. We saw he homered twice in this series. I think he'll be okay. Matt Olson, he picked up an RBI earlier today, but you know, coming into this game today, the last 21 games, he's batting 143, 438 OPS. And you know, that's pretty concerning. And it's somebody who we've seen him have slumps before, but the slumps have been so long this season. And it looked before that slump that he hit the last 21 games, I mean, three RBIs over the last 3 weeks. I mean, that's an RBI a week. That's just not good from your cleanup hitter, first off. And that's one of the reasons why this team is not consistently scoring runs. But the other fact is, I mean, before he had that streak, this is a guy who was playing lights out. He's a guy who can hit the cover off of the baseball. He'll get hot. Jarred Kelenic has cooled off a little bit. I mean, he had a white-hot June since being put into that starting spot. And the last couple of weeks, last week or so, he's really cooled off. His batting average has dropped tremendously over the last week or so. But look, Michael Harris still is going to come back. Jarred Kelenic, it remains to be seen if he holds down that number one spot. But I am still pretty confident in this team. Because I've seen what the offense is capable of doing if you get hot. It's all about getting hot at the right time. And the blueprint is there. The players are in place. The talent is on this roster to go get the job done. And you still have the trade deadline to do it. I was listening to Chris Goforth. I mean, he sounded a little down on this team earlier. He was pretty down. I've listened to Chris Thomas. He was pretty down. He's been pretty down. A lot of people on the station have been. I maintain that you have a top three right now in this rotation that are good enough to get the job done. Again, Ronaldo Lopez is the big key. He has to continue pitching at a high level. Maybe not 1.73 ERA good, but maybe if he can consistently be a strong third starter, that gives me some confidence. And then who's that fourth starter? Maybe it's Charlie Morton, somebody who can come in and eat some innings. Perhaps that's what you need him to do. Maybe Schwellenbach can come in and consistently do what he's been doing the last couple of starts. Maybe, maybe not. But look, when you get to postseason baseball, it's about your top three pitchers. It's about your bullpen, which the Braves still have one of the very best in baseball. And it's about your bats getting hot. The bats have been cold right now, yes. But the bats get hot in October. This team is fully capable of winning a World Series. I'm very confident in this team. You should be too. The All-Star break is coming at a great time. I fully expect this team to get back on the winning side of things here very soon. I have faith in a 7-game series. I really do. As long as we don't see the Phillies in the National League Division Series, I'll be just fine. But when we get back, speaking of the Braves, they just did something for the first time since 1997. Been since my little brother was born. I'll tell you what that thing is coming up next. We're going to go around the A. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right here!
Right here!
Right now!
Right now!
Right on!
Back with Off the bench.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Welcome back in. We are coming off the bench. Garrett Chapman on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm kind of conditioned after doing the Five Stripes countdown and the full-time report. I just come in straight off.
Because, you know, yeah.
Because there's no music.
Yeah, the rejoin is very quick and then there's no bumper music.
Yeah, so I just sort of jump right in, you know, because once it fades down a little bit, I got to jump right in on it. Man, I just stepped all over the music and everything. And Dom Trotsky, of course, taking care of us on the board with the great beats, man. So keep those coming. But, you know, Dom, actually, I saw something on Twitter today, and then I tweeted about it. Great McCauley responded to me, and of course I'm going to chat with him about that whenever I hand it off to from the Diamond here in about an hour and a half or so. But, you know, it was the Falcons' Mount Rushmore, you know, and the list that I saw and tweeted about was somebody had, I think it was Roddy White, it was Julio Jones, it was Deion Sanders and Matt Ryan. Right? I mean, that's a fine list, I guess. But one thing that's always kind of bugged me a little bit is when Deion Sanders gets included on those lists. And tell me if I'm crazy for this or if this is like a hot take. I don't know if it is. I don't feel like Deion Sanders is a Mount Rushmore guy for the Atlanta Falcons. I just don't. I mean, he's a really good player. He's debatably the best cornerback of all time, if not the best cornerback of all time. I'm not here to have that debate. I'm not interested in that right now. But look, the dude has multiple AP All-Pros. He was the Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. He did a lot of great things. He didn't win any Defensive Player of the Year here. He played here for 4 years, 5 years. You know, I mean, and he had a Pro Bowl, two Pro Bowls, I think. And he launched his career, and I think he was exciting, and he put Atlanta on the map. It made this team interesting. But I don't know. When I think of a Mount Rushmore of players for any franchise or team, whatever, if I look at that player, and if I say that player's name, and you don't immediately think of that team or school or whatever, I have a really hard time putting them on that list, right? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I see the argument where it's like, for a lot of people, when they think of Deion, they don't immediately think Atlanta Falcons. Like,
I don't
for
at all.
A lot of people, when they think
well,
of Deion
Sanders. Well, I do
Deion
as an
Sanders,
Atlanta guy.
Right, but for a lot of people, when they think of Deion Sanders, they think of him in a different uniform, which I can understand why that, for you, would keep him off Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with him being on it. I'm also like I'm kind of in between. Like, I understand why you would, just because of the cultural impact that he had, and he's just one of the most electric players in Falcons history. But I do understand the side or the opposite argument that he was only here for a few years, didn't really win anything.
Really, he didn't win anything,
and so I could see where it was just like, yeah, he had a couple good years here and he was a lot of fun, but does he represent, like, you know how they call Matt Ryan, they literally called him in that video Mr. Falcon, right?
Yeah.
Like, does Deion Sanders feel like a guy who was a Falcon, right?
Yeah.
Which I can understand.
And that's really my biggest qualm with the whole thing. It's not that I'm saying he's a bad player or anything, or if he wasn't an important player
not
in Falcons history.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying at all. You know, I'm just saying that there are several players that I would have in front of him if I'm to make a Mount Rushmore of Atlanta Falcons, right? So, I mean, I wrote down a couple of names, like literally just right here. So it's like, so you said Matt Ryan's Mr. Falcon. I get what you're saying with that, but there's already a Mr. Falcon. His name's Tommy Nobis.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, I understand where you're getting. I think Matt Ryan is absolutely on that list. He's number one. He's the best Falcons player in the history of this franchise. But Tommy Nobis is a guy you would have on there. Jesse Tuggle, Michael Vick, Roddy White, Julio Jones, Steve Bartkowski, Claude Humphrey, Jamal Anderson. I mean, those were all like really good players. I mean, how many of those guys had better NFL careers than Deion Sanders? Probably none of them. You know, I mean, Matt Ryan's debatably a Hall of Famer. I mean, Julio Jones,
he's
a first ballot Hall of Famer. But it's like, of this list, I mean, Deion Sanders is like clearly a better player.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I just have a hard time making him on like that Falcons Mount Rushmore.
I get it. I'm not mad at either side. If you want to put him on there, I definitely understand. If you feel like he maybe didn't pay his dues enough, I guess.
I guess.
I get that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of get that. So if you think I'm crazy for this, 404-726-0929, jump in and let me know. If there's a name that I missed that you feel like should be included on this Mount Rushmore list, it's not what the segment's about necessarily, but I'm happy to take your calls on the matter, 404-726-0929. That's also our text line. Hit me up on Twitter, at GChapATL, at Dom, you're live. Look, I just think it's an interesting discussion, and it's mostly because we're entering the All-Star break coming up tomorrow, and it's just kind of that dead period where not a lot of sports are going on. Still plenty of discussion and discourse to have. I mean,
list season, baby.
It's list season. It's Mount Rushmore season. It's one of those things. But look, we got a lot of fun things to get to, and that doesn't mean we're lacking for stuff, because look, there's always stuff happening in the Atlanta area. So Dom Trosko, what do you say? Let's go across the A. Oh, yeah. Nothing feels right without a little bit of Welcome to Atlanta, man. This is, when I was putting all this stuff together, I mean, it always felt right that this was the song that I would have as, like, kind of a bed music. So, oh, yeah. So, Braves and Padres. Oh, baby. Travis d'Arnaud. Well, you see it live. Travis d'Arnaud just went yard. His second home run of the day. Braves now lead 6-3 out there in San Diego, and that's your update here for the Atlanta Braves. And like I mentioned, they're looking to win their 53rd game of the season and cut into that Phillies lead. If they get a win today, it would cut it down to 8 games. Big lead. Not insurmountable by any stretch, but we've seen what this team is capable of doing. And look, Travis d'Arnaud just added a little bit of comfort there. And I just want to get into one big piece of news for the Atlanta Braves. It's Max Fried, news that came out over the weekend. He was named to the All-Star game for the second time. The first time was back in 2022, had a great season then. He's replacing Phillies Ranger Suarez. And, I mean, Max Fried's had a bit of an up-and-down season. You've seen some of the highs that have been, well, they've been tremendously high. And, like, you talk about, like, potential no-hitters and complete games and shutouts and everything else. And, like, this guy can get it done. And he's one of the reasons, like I said in the last segment, that gives me confidence in this team moving forward. 3.08 ERA in 18 outings, 2 complete games, only 95 strikeouts. He's not really a high velocity guy necessarily, but he is a he can get some strikeouts if he needs to. He can lean on that curveball. But he's on pace to pitch a career high in innings. But he has been one of the stalwarts of the Atlanta Braves since this division title run started back in 2018. He's posted a sub-3 ERA in 3 of the past 4 years. And look, I mean, he was the big reason, one of the big reasons why this team won a World Series back in 2021. He pitched 6 scoreless innings in that Game 6 win over the Astros. And he's the first Braves pitcher to earn multiple All-Star appearances with the club since Julio Teheran. So it's been a little while for the Braves just as far as pitching goes. But the real story is that the Braves have 3 All-Star pitchers. And if you had told me that after Spencer Strider goes down with a UCL injury after just one start, then I'd tell you you're crazy. I'm like, who is that third guy? Is Bryce Elder coming back? And I would assume that Chris Sale, yeah, he took a sip out of the Fountain of Youth and returned to dominance. But this is huge for the Braves. And the first time since 1997 that they've had 3 players, and that happened 3 times in the 90s, just going to show how dominant that team was. And look, it's big for the Braves. It's great for Max Fried, and big kudos to him. Elsewhere, we do have SEC Media Days. It's not exactly Atlanta news, but it does kick off tomorrow, and that means that it is the unofficial kickoff of the college football season is when SEC Media Days kick off. And when Greg Sankey gets up there and takes the podium, you know college football is right around the corner. And 92.9 The Game will have all the coverage for that this week. We've got guests and coaches from across the conference lined up for a great week of college football discussion, and football is almost here. I'm so ready for it. Monday through Thursday, Kirby on Tuesday, by the way, that is going to be must-watch television. Because what's going on with that program right now is, you've heard it in the promos, we talked about it on the Steakhouse late last week, What's going on at the Georgia football program is inexcusable, and I don't need to be the first person to tell you that. There are plenty of people who have come on this station elsewhere and said the very same. I mean, Kirby Smart, I don't think it's a lack of institutional control or anything like that. I'm not going to go that far. But there is an underlying issue that needs to be addressed. The things that are going on in the wake of the Devin Willock the death that happened after the national championship is just inexcusable. And the fact that it keeps happening just blows my mind. So Kirby Smart's going to have some comments there. I'm eagerly awaiting what Kirby Smart has to say in that. And I know that the rest of the country is going to be talking and listening to that conversation from Kirby Smart. He will be grilled, and I'm sure he's going to be ready to go. And Chris Marlowe is going to be joining me in about 10 minutes from right now, so make sure you stick around and listen. Chris is fantastic. I mean, he knows all things SEC. He's a funny dude and a good friend of mine, so I really am looking forward to getting him on the show, just talk some SEC football, because football is here. It's the worst offseason in the sport. In all sports, it's the worst offseason. It's the college football offseason. And I cannot wait for college football to be back. Georgia Tech and Florida State just like 40 days away, something like that. It's kind of crazy. It's coming up very fast. In other news, Atlanta United continues to drop games. They have lost their fourth straight in all competitions. CF Montreal, the third game in a row in MLS play. 1-0 up there north of the border. Transfer window opens up on Friday. We talked about it last night. Joe Patrick was kind enough to join me on the full-time report. We talked a lot of Atlanta United there. And look, the Five Stripes, they have some issues. They have some problems, and we need to discuss it moving forward. But there's not a lot that they can do as it currently stands. And, I mean, you just got to make do. NYCFC is coming in here on Wednesday. We'll have coverage starting at 6:30. Five Stripes Countdown, Abe Gordon and myself. 7:30, we'll hand it over to the voices of Atlanta United, Jason Longshore and Mike Conti, for the call of that one. And look, every game, points are at a premium. Atlanta United needs to come out and get positive results. And they're in desperate need of a striker. They need someone who can come in and create a true number 10. And to make matters worse, I mean, the scoring just hasn't been there, and you're expecting your defending to be perfect. And if that's what you're going to be doing on a game-by-game basis, then you're going to start dropping points. And that's really what happened to Atlanta on Saturday. They didn't play a better team by any stretch. It wasn't a team that was better suited to win matches. I mean, it's a team that generally Atlanta is able to go up and get points. They didn't do it. They left points on the table, and it's because they fell asleep for a split second on defense and allowed an easy cross in for the game winner. And they get zero shots on goal in this one, and that's just the perfect example of where this team is right now in the attack. They just need something to go their way. And right now, nothing really is. Daniel Rios was doing pretty well. He had six goal contributions in six matches that, of course, was snapped on Saturday. But I want to see a little bit more from this team. And Rob Valentino, he started out hot. He had the four-match streak of unbeaten matches. And look, it's gotten bad. And bad has gotten worse. And it's not going to get any easier. You're down Steon Gregerson on Wednesday. You're down Caleb Wiley, Tiago Almada, Yorgos Yakamakis. It's going to be tough sledding here for the Five Stripes. Noah Cobb, too, is also going off on international duty, so credit to him. Speaking of soccer, though, the summer of soccer is reaching its final stretch. The Olympics are coming up here very soon, but the Euros just finished off tonight, or this afternoon, I should say. Spain shocked England 2-1. Goal at the buzzer to win its record-setting fourth European championship. And you want to talk about teams that choke? England is a team that chokes, man. That's a team that cannot get it done.
They're still waiting for it to come home. They're still waiting.
I have been hearing, bring it home. It's coming home to England or whatever the hell they talk about. I've been hearing that for so long, Dom. So long. And they got to the European Championship final 3 years ago because it was supposed to be in 2020, but of course, COVID and everything else, so they played in 2021. They lost to Italy in penalties. I know Saka, the Arsenal player, I mean, he got lambasted for missing a penalty there. But, of course, there were bigger issues with England that year. But, you know, they lose to Spain today, and Spain was just the better side. And Spain looks like their women's side. Their women's team is really good. Their men's team is really good. And when the World Cup comes here in 2026, Spain might be your favorite. I don't expect Messi still to be kicking come 2026 at the level that he is right now. He's getting up there in age, but Spain's got some youngsters, and they look primed for some action. Copa America is also happening tonight. Speaking of Messi, Colombia and Argentina at 8 o'clock. Messi looking to go 3-for-3 in major trophies. And one last thing before we jump to a quick break. The Hawks Summer League tipped off on Friday in Las Vegas. Zachary Risichet looked pretty good versus Alex Saar. 18 points for him, 15 boards, 2 assists, and a block. He has a bag, folks. I'm not going to sit here and overreact to the one Summer League game, but he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good for my liking. So Alex Saar, of course, it was a battle versus number one versus number two, and I thought that was going to be a lot of fun, and I'm not going to overreact again. I think it's something to get fans excited, but big shout-out to Mo Gay as well. He flashed a bit at the center. 16 points for him, 4 boards, the assist, 3 steals, and a block. Hawks play the Spurs tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN2, and we'll talk to Caleb Johnson coming up next hour, so about 40 minutes or so from right now. But SEC Media Days are here, and so is college football. Who is a sleeper team in the SEC that we should be talking about more? Find out next. Chris Marler joins me to talk some college football. You're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Football.
That's it, buddy.
Back to more Off the Bench
with Garrett Chapman, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, you're coming off the bench with me. And Chris Marler, he's going to be coming off the bench too. Host of Fourth and Wrong podcast and Locked On South Carolina and with ESPN 104.5. Chris, is there anything that you don't do at this point?
You know, there's not. first and foremost, I will say that I'll work out probably and follow my diet that I should. I moved out of Atlanta like a year ago, and there's not a ton besides like my girlfriend, the Beltline, and maybe some other stuff. There's not a ton in Virginia Highlands and Moe's and Joe's that I really miss. But getting brought on to Gucci Lemonade is one of the best things that's happened to me, at least on a radio standpoint, in quite some time. So that made me miss Atlanta a lot.
Chris, you're getting big time now, man. Let me tell you what. Dude, so it's good to hear your voice, man. It's always a pleasure chatting with you, man. So thanks again for coming on with me. But I do want to go around the SEC a little bit. I know you go everywhere. I mean, you were formerly with Saturdays Down South, and you did a lot of stuff with them. And I know you're one of the foremost personalities on Twitter and everything else. And I love hearing your opinions on stuff. But I want to start here on SEC Media Days, and I think the title story for the week. It's going to be Kirby Smart and his addressing of what's going on with his program right now. So how important is Tuesday for Kirby Smart?
You know, I'm just being candid about it, man, because I know it's not something that a lot of Georgia fans want to hear. I will say I think that a majority of the Georgia fans that I've talked to that are, like, not in the lunatic fringe that any fan base has, right, which is, like you're going to have – idiots everywhere. I think there's some people that don't think this is a problem, but I think a majority of Georgia fans at this point are like, hey man, this is a problem. And just being as candid as possible, Garrett, like you've had 24 incidents in 18 months, but you've had the reason that marker, like that identifier of like the 18 months, why it's there is because you've had 24 incidents since one of your players lost their lives tragically when you were celebrating a national championship, like after the parade. You had someone tragically lose their life because of some sort of, you know, like street racing or reckless driving or whatever you want to say. Like, and listen, not all of these are created equal. Not all of these are like as egregious as some or anything like that. But like, here's my thing with Kirby, man. You have gotten this program to buy into everything. Mm-hmm. You have motivated them to do everything. At one point, after winning a national championship, you watch one of your seniors tell a lie that you guys were that you know, oh man, the media thinks we're going 7-5, and you got the whole locker room to believe that. How do you not get them to believe that the speed limit is a real thing? Like this is, it's gotten to the point where it's like it's not just like trash talk from other fans or something that we can take lightly. Like, this is a serious thing. So I think that, like, I think at some point, man, like this is a guy that is the best coach in college football, at the best program in college football. When you speak, people listen. Mm-hmm. So I think that he needs to come down, like, dude, drop the hammer on him. And like, we've joked around about this for like 3 years, about Uber or Lyft being like a title sponsor for them, NIL stuff. And like, it's funny, but at this point, man, like, some of the people I've talked to close to the program, like, the immediate response I got after I heard from them after this, the latest incident, was take their keys. Just take everyone's keys, and that's it. Because if you can't prove, until you can prove otherwise, this continues to be a very, very big problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wildly frustrating thing as somebody who's a grew up a Georgia supporter. I mean, it has nothing to do with it, you know? I mean, this goes so far beyond football. This goes to just student athletes, young men who are endangering not just their lives, but the lives of other people. And it's something that, I mean, Kirby Smart has to address it. He's addressed it now multiple SEC media days in a row. And it's something that we need to get something figured out. I know when Mark Richt was there, they had him riding on mopeds all the time. But, I mean, it's not exactly a Dodge Charger. But, you know, maybe that's just what you got to do. You got to stick them on mopeds and just figure it out. But, look, I know all eyes are going to be on Kirby on Tuesday. And, I mean, and like you said, I mean, when he speaks, everybody listens. He's taken over, willingly or not, whether he wants to do that kind of be in that position. He's taken over for Nick Saban in that kind of a capacity.
Yeah. And listen, I'll tell you what, I would almost guarantee you that like, especially if you were in a situation as one of the people that has, like, one of the culprits that was, you know, that was caught or in trouble or arrested or whatever, dude, you spend $4.3 million a year, $4.5 million a year. And those are last year's numbers, mm-hmm. right? Coming coming off your first national championship, like, not even after the second one. $4.5 million, it's over $1.1 million more than any other program in the country spends on recruiting. You can't tell me that you can't get some sort of role for an intern or a staffer or a student or someone and be like, hey, for this amount of month, you will drive these players to and from class, and that's it. And that way you're making sure everyone's going to class and that you're not going to have them behind the wheel. And that sounds drastic, or maybe – you know, like a utopian idea, but it's probably doable, man.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they need to do something, and I don't know what that thing is, and I'm told that Kirby Smart is going to have some comments on Tuesday, and like I said, everyone's going to be listening to it. But Chris, as far as on-the-field stuff is concerned, this week we're going to get our first look at Texas and Oklahoma as true members of the SEC. I share your acclaim there. But look, this is a team that they seem like they're coming in with a head full of steam, specifically Texas. But how ready do you think Texas and Oklahoma are for the challenges of the SEC?
I think that they're ready in some areas. Like, you know, I think Oklahoma is a program. I've brought this up a thousand times. When Spencer Rattler went from Oklahoma to South Carolina, I said the biggest drop off and issue he was going to have in South Carolina was not like any of the players around him or any of that kind of stuff. Or the schedule even. It was, when he was at Oklahoma, they had 11 offensive linemen recruits that were 4 stars or higher out of high school. And then when he got to South Carolina, they only had one. So make no mistake about it. Like, those are programs that have recruited at an elite SEC level, and they have recruited well in the trenches. Now, if you're Oklahoma, I think the schedule is your biggest obstacle, and you've got a freshman quarterback with Jackson Arnold, even though he's very, very, highly acclaimed and former 5-star, Elite 11 type guy, like all that stuff. I think that you have to have some level of confidence in him if you're Brent Venables, if you were okay with letting Dylan Gabriel grow, right? Like, because, like, mm-hmm. it's not like they're lacking in funds in Norman. Like, they could have easily thrown the money around here to keep him, especially going into year one in the SEC. So I think that I expect big things out of them. It's just that the ceiling might be closer to the floor, considering how difficult the schedule is going to be. Texas was gifted a cakewalk. It is mind-blowing to me. The level of just, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this and keep it PG. The level of easiness, I guess I'll say, that Sankey has allowed Texas to waltz into, whether it was showing up and talking at their Pitbull concert they had to celebrate joining the SEC, which is, by the way, side note, wild to sit here and say how much above you are, or like how far above you are any other conference or team or program in the country, and then celebrate joining a conference in that kind of fashion. I think that they're going to be good because I like Sark. And in the NIL era, Texas is always going to be relevant because they have deep pockets and they have a hunger to win at every level of that program. The thing that concerns me about Texas is I know what they have on the roster, right? You got a third-year starting quarterback. He hasn't put together a complete season yet, but you have Ewers. You got gutted at receiver. And you have Isaiah Bond and some other five-stars, all that kind of stuff, but Isaiah Bond's not A.D. Mitchell. He's definitely not Xavier Worthy. You're not going to replace Jatavion Sanders. Like you have a ton of talent you have to replace there. And then the other two positions, or the other position is defensive tackle right in the middle of the field on defense. You get gutted there too. So they're very fortunate because they don't have a soul they have to play on that schedule besides Georgia. And getting a month of a straight of Kentucky, Vandy, Mississippi State, and Arkansas is a joke that they got to walk into the SEC and play that schedule. So I think if you're Texas, like, you should be able to get 10-2 in a playoff spot. But the thing that I have the biggest obstacle for them is going to be, I mean, like, you don't get to play Oklahoma and then a trip to Kansas or a trip to like Baylor or Texas Tech. Like these are week in and week out, you are going to face a different level of athlete and team. And I wonder what that looks like on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and look, speaking of schedules, like you mentioned, I mean, Oklahoma's got Tennessee on September 21st, and then it's all at Auburn, which, I mean, it's going to be a rude awakening for Oklahoma because that's not a team that necessarily goes on the road and plays true road environments on any given week. I mean, like, all due respect to the Big 12, you have nothing like Jordan-Hare Stadium in the Big 12, and maybe you do in Austin, Texas, or something like that, but that, of course, is played in the Cotton Bowl, and it's not necessarily the same. But then it's the game against Texas, and then you're at Ole Miss. You finish with at Missouri, Alabama, and then at LSU. I mean, good God, that's brutal.
Yeah, it feels very one-sided from what they got versus what Texas got.
What Texas got is I mean, that game that they have with Georgia, I mean, everybody in America has that game circled, and I mean, that's going to be a big one. And speaking of Georgia, I mean, like, this is a team, and Chris Marler, of course, joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline, host of Fourth and Wrong podcast, Locked On South Carolina, and with ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge. But speaking of Georgia, I mean, this is a team that's 45-0 since November of 2020 against everybody not named Alabama, who, of course, they're 1-2 against. For whatever reason, it seems like that's the boogeyman, and not for whatever reason. His name was Nick Saban, and I mean, speaking of that, I mean, like, they've lost 8 of their last 9 games against the Crimson Tide. But now it feels like the reign of terror is over, right? I mean, but I've seen you on Twitter. You say, I mean, you're pretty confident in Kalen DeBoer in his first year. I am too, but speak on that.
Let's back it up. There's nothing that I've said on Twitter that's saying that Bama will beat Georgia.
Hey, man, I'll put words in your mouth. Come on, let me do it. It makes my point Georgia so much more compelling. Come on.
Georgia fans already have. I have a difficult enough time with them on that app anyway, so I don't need that and getting in their crosshairs or anything. But no, I think that here's the thing. I don't know the last time I've seen Georgia and Bama, and I've thought that, like, yeah, Bama's clearing, you know, head and shoulders the better team, right? Like maybe 2020 maybe was the year.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett that year, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, but in 2021, you know, let's not forget, they had a touchdown lead at halftime in Tuscaloosa. But I think that, yeah, the boogeyman's gone. I don't know what it is with Saban being on the other sideline across from Kirby Smart that got in his head. But we've seen it with other coaches. We've seen it with Lane Kiffin, right? And kind of this, like, weird, almost like paralyzation of like, overthinking and fear of whatever. I look at Georgia and I look at Ohio State. They're the two best teams in the country from a roster standpoint, for one. And then from a position by position, I think coaching standpoint, you know, it's hard for me not to go with Kirby Smart. I love.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Football.
I say, buddy.
Back to more Off the Bench
with Garrett Chapman, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, you're coming off the bench with me and Chris Marler. He's going to be coming off the bench, too. Host of Fourth and Wrong podcast and Locked On South Carolina and with ESPN 104.5. Chris, is there anything that you don't do at this point?
You know, there's not. first and foremost, I will say that I'll work out probably and follow my diet that I should. I moved out of Atlanta like a year ago, and there's not a ton besides, like, my girlfriend, the Beltline, and maybe some other stuff. There's not a ton in Virginia Highlands and Moe's and Joe's that I really miss. But getting brought on to Gucci Lemonade is one of the best things that's happened to me, at least on a radio standpoint, in quite some time. So that made me miss Atlanta a lot.
Chris, you're getting big time now, man. Let me tell you what. Dude, so it's good to hear your voice, man. It's always a pleasure chatting with you, man. So thanks again for coming on with me. But I do want to go around the SEC a little bit. I know you go everywhere. I mean, you were formerly with Saturdays Down South, and you did a lot of stuff with them. And I know you're one of the foremost personalities on Twitter and everything else. And I love hearing your opinions on stuff. But I want to start here on SEC Media Days, and I think the title story for the week. It's going to be Kirby Smart and his addressing of what's going on with his program right now. So how important is Tuesday for Kirby Smart?
You know, I'm just being candid about it, man, because I know it's not something that a lot of Georgia fans want to hear. I will say I think that a majority of the Georgia fans that I've talked to that are, like, not in the lunatic fringe that any fan base has, right, which is, like you're going to have – idiots everywhere. I think there's some people that don't think this is a problem, but I think a majority of Georgia fans at this point are like, hey man, this is a problem. And just being as candid as possible, Garrett, like, you've had 24 incidents in 18 months, but you've had the reason that marker, like that identifier of, like, the 18 months, why it's there is because you've had 24 incidents since one of your players lost their lives tragically when you were celebrating a national championship, like after the parade. You had someone tragically lose their life because of some sort of, you know, like street racing or reckless driving or whatever you want to say. Like, and listen, not all of these are created equal. Not all of these are, like, as egregious as some or anything like that. But, like, here's my thing with Kirby, man. You have gotten this program to buy into everything. Mm-hmm. You have motivated them to do everything. At one point, after winning a national championship, you watch one of your seniors tell a lie that you guys were that you know, oh man, the media thinks we're going 7-5, and you got the whole locker room to believe that. How do you not get them to believe that the speed limit is a real thing? Like, this is it's gotten to the point where it's like, it's not just like trash talk from other fans or something that we can take lightly. Like, this is a serious thing. So I think that, like, I think at some point, man, like this is a guy that is the best coach in college football, at the best program in college football. When you speak, people listen. Mm-hmm. So I think that he needs to come down, like, dude, drop the hammer on him. And like, we've joked around about this for like 3 years, about Uber or Lyft being like a title sponsor for them, NIL stuff. And like, it's funny, but at this point, man, like, some of the people I've talked to close to the program, like the immediate response I got after I heard from them after the latest incident was take their keys, just take everyone's keys. And that's it. Because if you can't prove, until you can prove otherwise, this continues to be a very, very big problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wildly frustrating thing as somebody who's a grew up a Georgia supporter. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, this goes so far beyond football. This goes to just student athletes, young men who are endangering not just their lives, but the lives of other people. And it's something that, I mean, Kirby Smart has to address it. He's addressed it now multiple SEC media days in a row. And it's something that we need to get something figured out. I know when Mark Richt was there, they had him riding on mopeds all the time. But, I mean, it's not exactly a Dodge Charger. But, you know, maybe that's just what you got to do. You got to stick them on mopeds and just figure it out. But look, I know all eyes are going to be on Kirby on Tuesday. And I mean, and like you said, I mean, when he speaks, everybody listens. He's taken over willingly or not, whether he wants to do that, that kind of be in that position. He's taken over for Nick Saban in that kind of a capacity.
Yeah. And listen, I'll tell you what, I would almost guarantee you that like, especially if you were in a situation as one of the people that had like one of the culprits that was, you know, that was caught or in trouble or arrested or whatever, dude, you spend $4.3 million a year, $4.5 million a year. And those are last year's numbers, right? Coming like coming off your first national championship, like not even after the second one, $4.5 million. It's over $1.1 million more than any other program in the country spends on recruiting. You can't tell me that you can't get some sort of role for an intern or a staffer or a student or someone and be like, hey, for this amount of month, you will drive these players to and from class, and that's it. And that way, you're making sure everyone's going to class and that you're not going to have them behind the wheel. And that sounds drastic or maybe, you know, like a utopian idea, but it's probably doable, man.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they need to do something, and I don't know what that thing is, and I'm told that Kirby Smart is going to have some comments on Tuesday, and like I said, everyone's going to be listening to it. But Chris, as far as on-the-field stuff is concerned, this week we're going to get our first look at Texas and Oklahoma as true members of the SEC. I share your acclaim there. But look, this is a team that they seem like they're coming in with a head full of steam, specifically Texas. But how ready do you think Texas and Oklahoma are for the challenges of the SEC?
So I think that they're ready in some areas, like, you know, I think Oklahoma is a program. I've brought this up a thousand times. When Spencer Rattler went from Oklahoma to South Carolina, I said the biggest drop off and issue he was going to have in South Carolina was not like any of the players around him or any of that kind of stuff. It's or the schedule even. It was when he was at Oklahoma, they had 11 offensive linemen recruits that were 4 stars or higher out of high school, and then when he got to South Carolina, they only had one. So make no mistake about it. Like those are programs that have recruited at an elite SEC level, and they have recruited well in the trenches. Now, if you're Oklahoma, I think the schedule is your biggest obstacle, and you've got a freshman quarterback with Jackson Arnold, even though he's very, very, you know, highly acclaimed and like, you know, former 5-star, Elite 11 type guy, like all that stuff. I think that you have to have some level of confidence in him if you're Brent Venables, if you were okay with letting Dylan Gabriel grow. Right? Like, because, like, it's not like they're lacking in funds in Norman. Like, they could have easily thrown the money around here to keep him, especially going into year one in the SEC. So I think that I expect big things out of them. It's just that the ceiling might be closer to the floor, considering how difficult the schedule is going to be. Texas was gifted a cakewalk. It is mind-blowing to me. The level of just, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this and keep it PG. But the level of easiness, I guess I'll say, that Sankey has allowed Texas to waltz into, whether it was showing up and talking at their Pitbull concert they had to celebrate joining the SEC, which is, by the way, side note, wild to sit here and say how much above you are, or like how far above you are any other conference or team or program in the country, and then celebrate joining a conference in that kind of fashion. I think that they're going to be good because I like Sark. And in the NIL era, Texas is always going to be relevant because they have deep pockets and they have a hunger to win at every level of that program. The thing that concerns me about Texas is I know what they have on the roster, right? You got a third-year starting quarterback. He hasn't put together a complete season yet, but you have Ewers. You got gutted at receiver. And you have Isaiah Bond and some other 5-stars, all that kind of stuff, but Isaiah Bond's not A.D. Mitchell. He's definitely not Xavier Worthy. You're not going to replace Jatavion Sanders. Like you have a ton of talent to replace there. And then the other two positions, or the other position, is defensive tackle right in the middle of the field of defense. You get gutted there, too. So they're very fortunate because they don't have any, they don't have a soul they have to play on that schedule besides Georgia. And getting a month of a straight of Kentucky, Vandy, Mississippi State, and Arkansas is a joke that they got to walk into the SEC and play that schedule. So I think if you're Texas, like, you should be able to get 10-2 in a playoff spot. But the thing that I have the biggest obstacle for them is going to be, hey man, like, you don't get to play Oklahoma and then a trip to Kansas or a trip to like Baylor or Texas Tech. Like these are week in and week out, you are going to face a different level of athlete and team. And I wonder what that looks like on a week to week basis.
Yeah. And look, speaking of schedules, like you mentioned, I mean, Oklahoma's got Tennessee on September 21st, and then it's all at Auburn, which I mean, it's going to be a rude awakening for Oklahoma, because that's not a team that necessarily goes on the road and plays true road environments on any given week. I mean, like, all due respect to the Big 12, you have nothing like Jordan-Hare Stadium in the Big 12, and maybe you do in Austin, Texas or something like that, but that, of course, is played at the Cotton Bowl, and it's not necessarily the same. But then it's the game against Texas, and then you're at Ole Miss. You finish with at Missouri, Alabama, and then at LSU. I mean, good God, that's brutal.
Yeah, it feels very one-sided from what they got versus what Texas got.
What Texas got is I mean, that game that they have with Georgia, I mean, everybody in America has that game circled. And I mean, that's going to be a big one. And speaking of Georgia, I mean, like, this is a team, and Chris Marler, of course, joining me on the wait4.com hotline, host of Fourth and Wrong podcast, Locked On South Carolina, and with ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge. But speaking of Georgia, I mean, this is a team that's 45-0 since November of 2020 against everybody not named Alabama, who, of course, they're 1-2 against. For whatever reason, it seems like, that's the boogeyman. And not for whatever reason, his name was Nick Saban. And, I mean, speaking of that, I mean, like, they've lost 8 of their last 9 games against the Crimson Tide. But now it it feels like the reign of terror is over, right? I mean, but I've seen you on Twitter. You say, I mean, you're pretty confident in Kalen DeBoer in his first year. I am too, but speak on that.
Let's back it up. There's nothing that I've said on Twitter that's saying that Bama will beat Georgia.
Hey man, I'm putting words in your mouth. Come on, let me do it. It makes my point Georgia, so much more compelling. Come on.
Georgia fans already have. I have a difficult enough time with them on that app anyway, so I don't need that and getting in their crosshairs or anything. But no, I think that, here's the thing. I don't know the last time I've seen Georgia and Bama, and I've thought that, like, yeah, Bama's clearing, you know, head and shoulders the better team, right? Like maybe 2020 maybe was the year.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett year, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, but in 2021, you know, and let's not forget, they had a touchdown lead at halftime in Tuscaloosa. But I think that, yeah, the boogeyman's gone. I don't know what it is with Saban being on the other sideline across from Kirby Smart that got in his head. But we've seen it with our coaches. We've seen it with Lane Kiffin, right? And kind of this, like, weird, almost like paralyzation of like, overthinking and fear of whatever. I look at Georgia and I look at Ohio State. They're the two best teams in the country from a roster standpoint, for one. And then from a position by position, I think, coaching standpoint, you know, it's hard for me not to go with Kirby Smart. I love the idea and the fact that this team gets to come into this season with a chip on their shoulder. They're already dangerous enough, right? Like there's talent everywhere. You might have the number one overall pick in the draft next year at quarterback. Like, there is talent everywhere on that roster, but you also have a lot of anger and frustration that I think that especially on September 28th, they're going to want to let out. But Kirby with a chip on his shoulder, there was a quote that Saban used to always have when he was at Bama, and it was, don't ever waste a loss. Don't ever waste a loss. And the thing behind that was, like, you know, learn from it, learn why it happened, but don't waste a second on, like, you know, throwing it away, not looking at the tape, not figuring out how you can get better, not using it as motivation, any of those things. And if there's a better motivator in the country, I don't know who it is outside of Kirby Smart. I look at that schedule, man, and this sounds crazy because I think that you're going to have very few teams that ever go undefeated in this day and age with, like, the expanded playoff. But if there's a team that could somehow get better week to week, barring injuries, it's Georgia. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the way that team plays, especially last year, I know what happened in Atlanta, but you look at the very few times that they've had to get up for a game, and I look at Florida, I look at Kentucky, I look at Ole Miss, Tennessee, and those games are over quickly. And I just think that, like, when you're at a position like Kirby Smart's in right now, especially coming in after the disappointment you had in Atlanta last year. The first time they get to step foot back in that city is against the top 15 team in Clemson. That's going to be a bloodbath, man. Like Georgia is going to destroy Clemson, and I can't wait to see it. I think Georgia is going to win the national championship this year. They are a very good football team. You know, like they are the mountaintop. They are the pedestal now that Saban's gone.
Yeah, two titles in the last 3 years will do that for you. And poor Cade Klubnik, man, he's going to come in here. It's going to be a bit of a brutal, rude awakening for him. But going down a level, I mean, you have your top tier in the SEC. We've talked a lot about that. We've talked about Texas, Alabama, Georgia. You go into that tier two level, and I feel like we enter some teams that we don't really talk enough about. I mean, I'm talking Brian Kelly and LSU. I'm talking Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri. I'm talking Josh Heupel in Tennessee. But those guys, I would feel like, are the real wild cards. And Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, don't let me forget that one, another preseason top 10 team. You know, I mean, this is a really deep conference, but you can pull from some of those tier two schools, but who is a team that we're not talking enough about right now?
So I'll give you two, honestly. I think every team you just talked about, I think, deserves – I think we've got a lot of talk about Ole Miss and Mizzou in the offseason.
Yeah.
Two teams, I think, honestly, especially with their given schedules, like, you expect them to go 10-2 and make the playoff. Like, I think 10-2 is like the number you have to be at to get into the playoff in the SEC. And I think you might have a little bit of a bottleneck there, because I think, you know, I think Georgia's going to go 12-0 or 11-1, and Texas will be up there, but Ole Miss and Mizzou as well. The two teams, the other ones that you mentioned, LSU is going to be good, but they lost a ton. Mm-hmm. They lost a ton, and that schedule is not exactly easy. Tennessee, I think, is going to make the college football playoff. They just have so much that I think going for them, going into year four with Heupel, having like the studs they have at the positions they have, like you still have some really good offensive linemen. You're talking about a defensive end, James Pierce, that might be a top five pick. Nico, getting a year to learn the system is huge. I love all that. And the schedule sets up well for them. You get Bama at home. I know Georgia's on the road, but still, you get Bama at home. You get Florida at home. I'm excited for Tennessee because I think it's the deepest receiving core that they've had in maybe 25 years. Like, I'm talking about like the T. Martin and Peyton Manning days. I'll tell you another one. I don't think they're going to make the playoff. And I will say this because partially because my girlfriend's listening, but also because I believe it. I don't think enough people are paying attention to it. Is if you want to talk about a program that is destined to take a big jump in this year, in year two under new head coach, it's Auburn. And I don't think they're going to make the playoff by any means. Schedule's still very, very difficult. You got road games at Bama and at Georgia. But here's the thing. Where they struggled most last year was on offense at quarterback and especially at receiver. And Hugh Freeze has been kind of a QB guru and a QB whisperer wherever he's gone. Don't forget that Bo Wallace was a two-time 3,000-yard passer under him. So, like, how much of a jump can Peyton Thorne make? But here's the thing, Garrett. Like, you talk about from a position unit standpoint, there is not a position unit in the entire country that is going to improve more from last year to this year than the Auburn receiving core. Not just with Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, five-star high school kid. You get the transfer from Penn State. Like, that is instantly one of the top-tier receiving cores in the entire SEC, if not the country, versus last year where it was one of the worst in all of Power 5. So I think that it would be impossible to not have a jump in productivity there, which I think will result in wins and losses as well. I think that Auburn is going to end up being – like, if you look up at the end of the season, they're 8-4, 9-3. Don't be surprised. I think that they're going to have a big jump this year, especially coming off of three straight losing seasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's I love the pull for Auburn. I mean, Peyton Thorne is the key for that team. I like that one. Nico Amaleva, I mean, he's going to be – probably one of the best players that not enough people are talking about right now. He in Josh Heupel, I mean, we've seen how good he can be as a head coach if he has a quarterback who can deliver the ball on time and keep that offense ahead of schedule. They are one of the best offenses in America. And, I mean, that's what Hendon Hooker did better than anybody, and he was under center. But, Chris, thank you so much. We only just scratched the surface of things I really wanted to talk about, man. There's so much that we can get into. You're so versatile, man. No, you're not. No, it's perfect. Honestly, it's the number one thing that I love about having you on. Is you are consistently knowledgeable about everything, and you pull things, and you do such a fantastic job. So I really appreciate you, man.
I appreciate that, man. I'm going to miss you at Dallas, obviously, but we'll get together soon and we'll catch up.
Yeah, man. Holler at me next time you're in Atlanta, okay? We'll get a beer.
But sounds good, brother.
Thanks, buddy. So that's Chris Marler, host of Fourth and Wrong podcast, Locked On South Carolina, and with ESPN 104.5. Give him a follow at Vern Funquist, CFB. One of the top SEC personalities, really, and he's a lot of fun to follow. He's a funny guy. So thank you to Chris for joining me. The college football world, it's going to look a little bit different in a few months, and that starts with all this realignment. I'm going to break all that down right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, you're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.